Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki Ratra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Gopimanandi. Could you see what that book is up there? Maybe that's the missing book.
That is it.
Bhagavatam is
okay.
There's
that.
Right here.
Okay.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 3, chapter 14, I believe it's text 49. We'll cover 48 and 49. This is Kashyapa speaking to Diti, and Diti's pregnancy is being confirmed by Kashyapa as not having a good fruit. For a variety of reasons, inauspicious time, etc., etc., etc. The consciousness of mother and father at the time of conception is having this interesting discussion with college students about a girl that had never had any contact with devotees, somehow came to this retreat in Gitanagari. And, you know, her question was, what about men and women? You know, what's your views? I heard some things I'm not so comfortable with. And then right after that, somebody asked, what about women and women? What's your views on that? So, anyway, everything has a God-given purpose. And if we use things in that God-given purpose, in the consciousness that it's in service to God, then it's fully spiritual. And otherwise, we don't involve ourselves in those activities that are other than God's given purpose. That's our simple principle. Because she, you know, she had some idea, somehow, I guess she heard, that it's, you know, for procreation only. So I decided, let's take it beyond that. What's the purpose of procreation? What's the purpose? Well, the God-given purpose of procreation is producing children. That's a natural byproduct, and people don't recognize that. They do something else. Abortion, contraception. We don't want the consequences. We want the sense pleasure in life, not the consequences. So not only that, then, so at the most likely time to conceive, and prior to that, purification of consciousness, because the consciousness of mother and father at the moment of conception determines which soul will be attracted. That's the law of nature. And then the spiritually elevated conscious mother father have this lovely challenge of delivering that soul from the cycle of birth and death. And if one isn't prepared to do that from a God-conscious point of view, from a Vedic point of view — I didn't say God-conscious because we're in, with students — from this Vedic point of view, then you should prepare yourself first to deliver that soul that you've invited in higher consciousness to go beyond the cycle of birth and death, because that's life mission. So Ditti kind of skipped over that part. And she was motivated by envy. Her sister had children. She didn't have children. She wanted children, and at any cost. And so she had to pay the consequence. And when Kashyapa informed her of the consequence, he also said, so two sons will be born, and they'll be demons. And that's the consequence of the bad consciousness. You know, one of the discussions is, why did Kashyapa just tell her no? It's inappropriate. Because he's not an ordinary person. Kashyapa's... Anyway. Kashyapa... Huh? Yeah, Kashyapa. Kashyapa. Yeah. So, Super Soul's inside his heart, and he did what he did. There's a bigger picture of all of this when it comes to kind of like it's just a movement of the hand. Well, it's just Leela. Kind of like that adjusts everything. Super Soul's in his heart. So he says, because she petitioned him, her husband, let this, the grandson of these two will be a great devotee. And he gave his reasons, because you're an unalloyed devotee of Vishnu. So how can an unalloyed devotee of Vishnu do what she did? And how could he do what he did? But because you're an unalloyed devotee of Vishnu, by some plan of the Lord, and of Lord Shiva, and you have great respect for brahmanas, and your manner is of great character, then you'll have this benediction that your sons will be killed by Vishnu, and the grandson will be a great devotee, and his fame will be spread all over, da 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 da. So now he is describing the character of Prahlad. She's expressing her gratitude that my sons will be killed by Vishnu, because then they will be delivered. And if the sons are delivered, then I'll be delivered. And, of course, then the grandson. So, Kashyapa is describing the characteristics of Prahlad. in many, many ways. So here's two verses. That topmost devotee of the Lord, Mahabhagavata, will have expanded intelligence and expanded influence and will be the greatest of the great souls due to a matured devotional service. He will certainly be situated in transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. Purport. There are three stages of transcendental development in devotional service, which are technically called Stayi, Bhava, Anubhava, and Mahabhava. Continual perfect love of Godhead is called Stayi Bhava. And when it is performed in a particular type of transcendental relationship, it is called Anubhava. But the stage of Mahabhava is visible amongst the personal pleasure potential energies of the Lord. It is understood that the grandson of Diti, namely Prahlad Maharaj, would constantly meditate on the Lord and reiterate his activities, that's Lord's activities, because he would constantly remain in meditation. He would easily transfer himself to the spiritual world after quitting his material body. Such meditation is still more conveniently performed by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. This is especially recommended in this age of Kali. Because the verse says, Maha Anubhava. The word for word Prabhupada has given, Maha Anubhava, expanded influence. Mahabhagavata and Maha Anubhava and Mahatma. Mahishta, the greatest of souls. Text 49. He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. Semicolon. He will be jolly and happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. Saptarani Kashyapu. He will be a destroyer of the lamentation of all the universes, like the pleasant moon after the summer sun. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj, the exemplary devotee of the Lord, had all the good qualities humanly possible. Although he was the emperor of this world, he was not profligate. What does that mean? Profligate means? Somebody can look it up in your dictionary. Profligate. Beginning from his childhood, he was a reservoir of all good qualities. Without enumerating those qualities, it is said here summarily that he was endowed with all good qualities. That is the sign of a devotee. The most important characteristic of a pure devotee is that he is not lumpata, or licentious. And another quality is that he is always eager to mitigate the miseries of suffering humanity, the most obnoxious misery of a living entity, is his forgetfulness of Krishna. Very interesting language. A pure devotee, therefore, always tries to evoke everyone's Krishna consciousness. This is the panacea for all miseries. Profligate means? Huh? Did you find it?
Wasteful.
Wasteful, extravagant, reckless.
Extravagant, restless, what was the first one?
Wasteful.
He's grateful?
Waste. He's a wasteful person.
Useless person.
Yeah.
Profligate, yeah, useless.
Utterly and shamelessly immoral or dissipated.
Ooh. Or, what was it like? Utterly and shamelessly immoral or?
Or dissipated.
Dissipated.
Dissolute.
Dissipated, irresolute.
Thoroughly dissolute.
Dissolute. Irresolute or dissolute?
Dissolute.
Huh?
Dissolute.
Dissolute. I don't know what dissolute means either. Salute and dissolute. Anyway, not that kind of salute. Just some appreciation of the composition of the Bhagavatam. This is Canto 3. And the expanded version is in Canto 7, the position of Prahlad Maharaj. And big section, because he's a very important personality. In one of Mahajan's. So we hear, even in the earlier stage, about Prahlad Maharaj before he came, and then we hear an expanded version later. I was thinking specifically about this section. That even in Canto 1, in several places, Queen Kunti's prayers, for example, she speaks about the residents of Vrindavan and the love of Mother Jasoda that she just can't understand, and how fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan. We hear about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. We hear about pure devotees, just a little sound vibration, and then it expanded, and then expanded, and then expanded. I don't know so much about music, but the little bit that I know is in one of the beautiful natures of musical scores is there's a certain series of notes that they repeat, the piccolo, the oboe, the bass, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, then it goes over here and goes over there and comes back to the theme. You know, exactly what the composer had in mind, who can say, but it's part of this repetition of certain themes in the Bhagavatam, how it gives a hint of it here and then expands it over there and elaborately discusses it over there and then again a little hint. It's something like how Prabhupada would use the Bhagavatam to say certain things. There's certain phrases that he would say over and over and over and over, meaning, at least I take it, he liked them. And then he would just say a few words, and the few words meant a whole big picture. And sometimes he would expand that big picture in detail and detail and detail and detail and detail. Like this expression of the manifesto in Los Angeles. I mean, it's really detailed. You know, and sometimes he would say some part of it. So to get a composition, sometimes it was like, the whole big picture. But then other times it was just a few words. And by consistently listening to Srila Prabhupada's speaking, even when he says the few words, it just invokes the big picture. Then you see, you know, like, I learned this about from visiting China about meditation. The Buddhist, one of the forms of meditation in Buddhism is mandala. They have this, it takes like 2 days. One day is just they take this diagram that's etched into stone and they fill it with colors. mandala? Everyone knows mandala. So then the next day, the monks sit around the mandala. They have these, looks like chopsticks, brown wood. They point at this part, that part, just meditate on the part. And then they shift positions and meditate on another part. And then at the end of the day, they meditate on the whole, like teamwork or something. And so the little part, the little part, the little part is part of the big whole. And that's reality, the big whole, the big picture. Now, that's just mental discipline that helps fix the mind. When we hear spiritual sound vibration, take way beyond that mechanical fixing the mind on something. A candle flame or a spot on the wall or nothing. Or there's shelter and transcendence through that sound vibration. And just as it's said here about Prahlad, we know from many sources, Prahlad's perfection was Vishnu Smaranam. But then we're also hearing Kirtanam. He liked describing the activities, just like we heard yesterday, Hanuman. He likes describing. Ram left him behind so he could sing the glories of Ram for people in this world. After his long stay in this world, Hanuman would stay behind and sing the glories. And although he's in Kim Purusha Varsha, we can hear the glories just by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And that sound vibration carries us. You know, there's the little pieces, and then there's the big picture. If we listen orally to the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, it carries us to the good place. I'm used to using that language in new people. The place of higher consciousness. The place of higher consciousness. And sometimes they ask, what's that like? It's higher consciousness place. Especially in China, you have to be really careful. But it's a natural question, but we really don't know. Just sharing with you, because I share this in public, from when I was a little boy, I asked Mom, Dad, what's it like there? We hear about it. What do you do? What's the travel advertisement? I didn't use that language. And, you know, they didn't know. They didn't say, I don't know. They just patted me on the head and said, oh, isn't that cute? And then people would come to visit and, go ahead, say it. Pat on the head. Go ahead, say it. It's so cute. I stopped asking. Outside, at least. But who knows? Nate vidu svartika timhi Vishnu. And what's Vishnu Loka? What's Vaikuntha? What's Krishna Loka? What do you do there? You're supposed to want to go there, but you don't know what it is? Well, it's nice. Okay, can you tell me a little more? Don't know. Anyway, so the Bhagavatam, through sound vibration, tells us the as Prabhupada is saying here, such meditation is still more conveniently performed by chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord. This is especially recommended in this age. So within, the name is everything. Harir Naam Eva Kevalam. Everything is there. Well, we don't have the acumen to access the everything from the holy name, but we chant the holy name anyway, because that unfolds the everything. It awakens the seed, the dormant seed of Krishna consciousness, which is, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to love you. George Harrison. He was an advanced devotee. Very genuine. So he was able to move people because there was something very genuine inside. Not just he was a good musician, he was able to move people. Something very genuine. And we need to become such genuine devotees too. at our hearing about Prahlad, hearing regularly oral reception of Srimad Bhagavatam and its message, and hearing about the characteristics of a pure devotee. So let's hear, go back to these two verses. Expanded intelligence, not material intelligence, spiritual intelligence. And what's spiritual intelligence? How to live our lives in such a way, whatever the circumstances of life are, our contemplation is how to please Krishna, how to reach Krishna, how to be with Krishna. Even in this world, that's expanded intelligence. And Krishna gives it to someone who is like Prahlad, constantly interested in being in service. Expanded influence. That purity leads to purity is the force. Purity leads to influence. It's one of the opulences of Bhagavan, and the opulences of Bhagavan become decorated in the being of a devotee. So, intelligence and influence. Just from that very simple act of submission to the personality of Godhead, and I want to serve you. Anuttama shared something with me some time ago. He said when he goes, regularly he is very dedicated, he has a vision of a maturer stage of Krishna consciousness where we mix with people of the world and we become influencers of those who influence the world by mixing with the world. Of course, there's a risk to do that, there's a risk to not to do that, but that's a vision that he has. He feels that's a maturing stage. Not everyone should do that. Everyone has qualification instead of becoming contaminated by that which is not. Anyway, so he does that. So he shared for maybe 15 years, he's been going to these conferences where there's certain religious leaders, interfaith. I don't have a liking for interfaith, but he does. He has a vision why. So because the why is strong, he does it. And he shared with me that there was one of the persons that kind of like the leader amongst this whole interfaith group in Washington, D.C. for 15 years. He's like a luminary. And he said, I always hear you and your Krishna people speaking about loving service to God. And we always emphasize God loves you. But your emphasis is loving service to God. I think I'm going to start incorporating that in my sermons. Hey, Nutama's, strikes gold. Because he's not, citing verse and chapter from Bhagavatam, but he's speaking the Bhagavatam's message to the influence of Anuttama. And who knows where that's going to go? And who knows even if he understands what service to God is, or who God is, and how you serve him. Probably it'll stay on the bodily concept of life. Probably. But, who knows what the next step. Because without becoming free from the bodily concept, one can't understand oneself, one can't understand God. The service to God means whatever the bodily concept one has says. That's what service to God is. And God is also according to that concept. So we need chanting to awaken the mood of service to Krishna, and these wonderful descriptions of perfected souls like Prahlad, who they're fully Krishna conscious and their service is not profligates or licentious, lampata. And eager to mitigate the misery of those who are suffering. So there's the material conception of mitigation of the misery of suffering, and there's a spiritual conception. And the spiritual conception is to take one beyond suffering. Not possible. Or possible, what does it mean? If someone says, yes, it's possible. Yes, I don't know, believe in this and you go to the good place. And there's no suffering in the good place. But that's not so. You're still in the bodily conception. You don't go to the kingdom of God. You go to another place where there's also suffering. Fear. And just listening this morning, Prabhupada was saying, even Indra, you know, checking Prithu Maharaj, because he may be after my post. So he stopped an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, just got in the way, you know, because he's fearful. Or in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Gopal Kumara visits Lord Brahma, he's in anxiety, I have to die. It's such a long, inconceivably long life, and he also has to die. So, what's that place of no fear? What's Vaikuntha? What's no anxiety place? That's nice, sounds nice. What's it like there? What do you do? And Prahlad is a Vaikuntha Vasi. He shows what you do. He's in this world and showing. With real compassion to mitigate the miseries of those that are suffering. Due to matured devotional service, he will certainly be situated in transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. Stai bhava anubhava maha. I don't know why Prabhupada put that there, the mahabhava stages. Commonly we hear that's exclusively available to Radharani. Here he's expanding it a little bit. The stage of Mahabhava is visible amongst the personal pleasure potential energies. Pleasure potential energies. So Radha and Radha's expansions, Mahabhava. But Stai Bhava, Anubhava. So Prahlad was able to experience that by the touch of the hand of Lord Nrisimhadeva upon his head. His body erupted in ecstatic symptoms and somehow was able to speak so beautifully. And will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. In the final section of Prahlad's words to Lord Nrisimhadeva, Chapter 10 of Canto 7, he says, seeing that people, because the devotee is compassionate, because the Lord is compassionate, seeing people in this world suffering due to the influence of ignorance and passion, you sent me. He didn't specifically say from where, but the implication in the commentary doesn't say either, but from the spiritual world. So he descended from the spiritual world. Here's Kashyapa indicating his characteristics. And here he's going to return, enter the spiritual sky after quitting the material world. But he's from the spiritual world. At least the indication seems to be that. He sent me here from the place of no anxiety to the place of anxiety to teach the way of devotional service so people can become free from ignorance and passion. He will be a virtuously qualified reservoir of all good qualities. And surprise, Prabhupada doesn't quote the verse, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana Sarvayar Ganesh Tatra Sama Sate Sara. But here it is. Kashyapa is saying, jolly, happy in others' happiness, distressed in others' distress, and will have no enemies. Well, at least, this is discussed in the previous verse. Prabhupada doesn't say Hiranyakashipu is the exception. Of course, he was following the dictate of Super Soul also. But others, like the six Goswamis, the Shad Goswami Ashtaka, they're Dira Dira Jana Priyo. They were dear to both the gentle and the ruffians, Dira and the Adira. And so Prabhupada explains there, Super Soul in the heart dictates be friendly towards this nice devotee. Why? Because they don't want anything. People maybe, I got to protect my territories. Animal mentality. Dog. Very territorial. So people are doggish like that. But Prahlad wasn't like that. And so people that are like that, they were no threat. And somehow they could understand. Like Narada's influence on others, although they were bad. Ratnakar or Magari or, bad. By his influence, they went beyond that, inquired and became elevated souls. So Prahlad, similarly, he had no enemies. Now, devotees, so repeated in Prahlad's teachings is to his friends, to his teachers, and to Hiranyakashipu. It's a theme throughout his messages. Friends and enemies. Boo. Don't see like that. And that's a byproduct of thinking in terms of the body as the self. It's just boom, boom, boom. If you have a misunderstanding of self, then you'll be territorial, I and mine, and then there are people that are favorable to the I and mine, and people unfavorable are enemies. Mm-hmm. People that are favorable, they're friends. I and mine. It's just dominoes. Beyond friend and enemy, how does someone see? Even though Hiranyakashipu was being inimical, it's right to his teachers, he says. One sees, here's a spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, then for his loving service. They may be doing it like in a wrong way, but they're meant for the loving service of the Supreme Lord. So they see that spirit, not just spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, but beyond, into the realm of devotional service. That's how a devotee sees. Prahlad was encouraging his teachers to see like that. No way could they see like that. He will be the destroyer of the lamentation of all the universes. What about ours? We're part of the universe. The potency is there. Just hearing about Prahlad. We're a little covered. So we hear about Prahlad and our lamentation is still there. But the potency is there. It's a feature of a pure devotee. And hearing about the pure devotee, Prahlad and other pure devotees, is as good as hearing about the Personality of Godhead. It helps us understand who we are, or, the travel advertisement. What's it like when you're in pure consciousness, Maharaj? Well, let's just find out from Prahlad. What's this place of higher consciousness like? Can you describe it? Well, let's describe it in this plane, and then you'll get an idea of what it is on beyond this plane. Because how can you understand beyond this plane if we can't understand this plane? So, how do we live our lives as devotees, trying to become purified, the sadhana stage? We look at people that are in the purified stage. There's what it looked like. He's the example, the role model to follow. Prahlad has always has been from the earliest stage, just a little end of this. Some years ago as a brahmachari living in a Hare Krishna temple in Boston and I heard Prabhupada's lectures about Prahlad. And I went, wow, Prahlad. I want to hear more about Prahlad. And almost like, you know, super soul heard. Because the only literature, the primary literature that we had during those early days was Back to Godhead magazine and so forth. So some people would say, I already got one. So then Prabhupada provided us the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Little half the size of the page of the Back to Godhead, and bluish border around it, and a picture of Prahlad on the front. And we got to pass it out to everybody, and so I got to read it and read it and read it, and you know, Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai, a hero, a role model to emulate, you know. It works that way. You know, if the heart is hankering for the place of higher consciousness or to learn how to go beyond anxiety or whatever, to learn how to become fixed in pure devotion, just hearing about Prahlad and the teachings of Prahlad, the prayers of Prahlad and the life of Prahlad and other pure devotees of the Lord. It has the same effect as hearing about the Lord. It's part of hearing about the Lord. Hearing about his devotees. I like Prahlad Maharaj. So, any discussion? How are we doing with time?
I always have a doubt.
You have a doubt?
Yeah, like,
really?
We always say that when the parents are good, then the child is very good. Like,
well, that's it. There's rules and there's exceptions to the rule.
Yeah. So I was thinking, like,
yeah, well, that was the Lord's plan.
Yeah.
And here we're getting a clue. Mm. Why?
Mm.
From this section. Ditti had these five qualifications. And because Ditti had these five qualifications, she would be endowed with a grandson who would be different than her sons. You know, the behavior, or the consciousness at the time of conception of her two sons wasn't good. But her elevated character entitled her to this special privilege. But, you know, that's part of the big picture. And then the big picture is the Lord had a plan. He wanted to appear and kill Hiranyakashipu and protect Prahlad and exchange with Prahlad, and you know, it's part of the big picture. So, you know, there's reasons behind the exception. Did that take care of your doubt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
The higher consciousness that you were speaking about, developing the higher consciousness, is that a byproduct of our practices, or is that something? A
byproduct
of our spiritual practices, the sadhana, or is that something we have to strive for? Can we can we, if we do our sadhana nicely, will it automatically come, or is that something that we have to strive for in some conscientious way?
Well, why eliminate? Why it's a false dichotomy. Mm-hmm. We do both. When you're striving, you strive. You know what the goal is, and you strive for the goal. There's this discussion about, you know, good qualities. Do we strive for good qualities, or good qualities just become decorated? You can make an argument. Prabhupada would sometimes say they just become the decoration of a devotee. And then the other side is, what does the devotee want? They want to please Krishna. So they want to come before Krishna and Krishna smiles. So they think, what will make Krishna smile? So let me do that. That's part of bhakti. So it's the horse that pulls the cart is, I want to please Krishna. And then good qualities come, the cart fills up. But there's also something that we need to do, some endeavor. I want to please Krishna consciousness. So let me control my speech and speak in a way that's, you know, what Krishna says proper speech is. Speech in the quality of goodness. Speak the truth pleasingly. That's a challenge. Oh, just come. Speak the truth pleasingly. It comes, but it's part, there's also a cultivation. How do you do that? What does it look like? And so then we follow the example. That's an endeavor. It's one of the five factors of action is endeavor. So we endeavor. And towards what end? To please Krishna. That's the primary one. And the other things follow the primary one. We become decorated, but we strive for that place of higher consciousness. Let me live my life in that way. For the pleasure of Krishna.
So, Prabhu, you've been around the world, I mean, to different countries and different places. So, of course, you've been to India, I'm not sure, to Africa or, you know, those areas. So, what I notice when I travel to India or to other places in the world, towards the Asian places.
Asian places.
Yeah, and not ancient, Asia, A-I-S, Asia continent.
Yeah, Asia,
as a continent,
okay.
And towards Africa also. That in U.S., when I see here in the United States, it's people are more giving, more nicer, more good. But India, we having the Vedic thing born there, I see people are more, including me, I'm not trying to say I'm separate from there because I'm here in U.S., but more selfish or more, even though we have all this books, Vedas and stuff, more not like, you know, so pleasing like here in the U.S. I mean, I'm not just trying to say whites, I mean, towards a race or anything, but, you know, so why is it God's plan that those people there to be like that, even though the Vedas, for example, if I can give you an example, in our Vedas it says the king supposed to take care of elderly and handicapped or, you know, those kind of things, but in Indian law, I'm not sure how much they follow that, but here, the governor really, Medicare, Medicaid kind of things, they take care of, you know, elderly and handicapped and all those. So why?
And not if you're Donald Trump.
I mean, what he's doing, I think personally it's good, not because I work for Republicans, but what he's doing is right. Maybe people don't realize now, but they'll realize it later.
Okay.
That American.
We're going way far away.
Yeah, so I don't want to go there. So my question is more to like, why even though the Vedas are born in India and we have all these scriptures and you know, all these tellings, Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, even if I go to Jagannath Puri who went there and people come there, the Brahmanas say, give me, kind of thing. I mean, why that in India? Why not I mean, the people, even though they don't follow any Vedas kind of stuff, but they unknowingly follow the Vedas, things which are in the Vedas here in the U.S., without knowingly many things. But even though we have
the picture. I got the picture, waiting for you to end. Grief.
So, yeah, it's
I got it. Here's three things. Culpability. Right? If one has knowledge, but one doesn't act according to that knowledge, that person is more culpable than the person that doesn't have knowledge. Correct?
Yes.
You have this facility, and you misuse the facility that's given to you. The facility is given to you from piety, and then you misuse it. You're more culpable.
So why is that happens in Asia more than...
Because the heart isn't pure. There's piety without the heart being pure. Let's do this. This is one of my little, you know, axioms. The fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Do it again. The fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. And pride destroys everything good. How is it possible? Fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. And from pride comes greed, etc., etc. It doesn't take away the piety. It takes away the proper use of that piety, and then it becomes misused in a hurtful way, hurting themselves especially. But they're pious. So one wants to stay away from such people because they're greedy and proud and etc., etc. But that's how it happens. That's my understanding. And then, you know, generations pass it on to the next generation. The one who's the abuser, he trains his children to be abusive. They learn the whole system from their elders.
Is that Krishna's plan too?
No, he's not his plan. He sanctions the this and that and the other desire. Niyatamam prapadyante, tamstadaiva pajanyaham. So they do their rituals so they can get some piety, so they can be in this position like their predecessors and, you know, exploit people. They learn from their parents. And so it's intergenerational. It's passed on. There are some places that are not like that at all. In India. Not like that at all. Because their predecessors teach your heart is to be pure. And that's, you know, we're being taught the same thing, wherever we're born in. That's the, you know, make the heart pure. Pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, not mishra bhakti. That's Prabhupada. And, you know, the audience that Prabhupada is speaking to is everybody. The audience that Prahlada is speaking to is everybody. Hiranyakashipu, the message doesn't change. His teacher's message, he says it a little differently to each one. And then his classmates, he really gives it to them, two chapters. Because they can hear more. And they like it. The other two didn't like it. So, how deep is that pride and the bodily conception? Asat grahat, Prad's language. There's too much affinity for the temporary. So they got beans in their ears, they can't hear. Asat grahat. Piety with the wrong intention. So Rupa Goswami says, That's one of the causes of bhakti vinashati. They follow rituals to get piety, but they don't know the purpose. They've got another purpose. They learn from their predecessors and their community. I visit China, and there are people that are really have wonderful character. Although the whole country is atheistic, but scratch below, those people that are very wonderful, they become devotees quickly. Well, not quickly, it takes a while because the culture is atheistic. But, you know, when there's virtue... Anyway, a little story. Amtrak train in America. Here comes down, you know, all the seats were occupied, and I had all my stuff laid out. So coming down the aisle was an old lady that was hobbling because she was elderly, and somebody that was like, you know, her daughter or something like that, looking for two seats together, or even one seat. She just kept walking. And then at the end of the car was a Chinese young man, because he was cultured. He saw the old lady. He immediately stood up. "Please sit here." And she said, "Well, where are you going to sit?" He said, "I'll find a place." Respect elderly. Now, he didn't have a Medicare program, but, you know, it's just it's part of a cultured person does like that. Etc. Now those values are also being eroded by greed. But some persons have, you know, without going into the detail, anecdotal things. It's culture. And spiritual culture is supported by Krishna bhakti. And when Krishna bhakti disappears because of bodily identification and wanting the fruits of piety to become an enjoyer in this world and the next, that's the heart that's not pure. And then pride and the other bad qualities go with it. Is that all right? You sure? You've got that little thing on your forehead that says, "I'm not sure." The common answer is, let me think about it. Okay. What else? We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai.